It is a great privilege and blessing to be here tonight. I believe for each and every one of us to have a place like this that's been provided for us through and by the Lord to come out of this old troubled world and come into a gathering as we have tonight for the purpose of praising and worshiping the Lord is a blessing that none of us could be as thankful as we ought to be for it. I do believe you're thankful for it tonight. I'm thankful that you are. Certainly appreciative of your presence here. I would love for the house to be overflowing with those like you that are God's little children, hungering and thirsting for the truth. But I'm thankful for those that have gathered and for the promise of God that where two or three are gathered in His name, that He is there to bless us. And we'll be blessed tonight as we look to the Lord and lean upon Him with what we need. And it's already been real, real good to be here. It's been a blessing to greet you. It's been a blessing to talk with you, communicate with you, and find our friendship and our fellowship in one accord and looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I just pray as we look at the passages of Scripture tonight that the Lord would give us, that His name would be honored and glorified and praised, and that you as God's children might be fed. I do ask that you pray for me as I stand before you tonight. As always, we recognize our great need of the Lord. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I certainly encourage you to do that. I'd like to read to you tonight from the book of 2 Timothy. I'd like to read from chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, and we're going to read 10 verses here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. This passage of Scripture is written to the young preacher Timothy. It's written by the Apostle Paul, and Paul writes as an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he does it by the will of God and by the authority of God. And he writes to Timothy, and he calls him in verse 2 of chapter 1, his dearly beloved son. Timothy was the son of the Apostle Paul, not by birth, but he was not by the new birth or by the natural birth or the spiritual birth. We know that we have natural fathers in this world that we're born of, that we have a bloodline, a natural bloodline, and they're our fathers. We also know that there's only one spiritual father. We're to call no man father in a spiritual sense but the Lord. And that is as the begotten of children, as one who has begotten us again. Tonight, if you're a little child of God, it wasn't the preacher who got you to be a little child of God. It wasn't your mama or your daddy or your family or anyone else that allowed you to be able to see and know and understand the things of God. But you were born again from above. Born again, born from above. Born by God. Not according to man or the will of man or the flesh, but of God. And you have one Father, and we're not to call any man Father in that sense, but God. He is holy and reverent is His name. And we're to call Him our heavenly, our eternal, our Father, who art in heaven. You might have had a good father in this world, and if you did, you're blessed to have a good father. But you might have had a sorry father in this world, too. There are fathers that are good fathers, and there are fathers that are no fathers at all, that just have children but don't really act as fathers to them. You and I tonight, though, can be thankful that if we're born of the Spirit of God, we have an eternal Father, a heavenly Father, a good Father, that despite whatever other kind of Father we might have, we really have a Father. I have a Father. I have one that I can look to tonight, who is my heavenly Father, who has loved me and who will always love me, who loves me enough to correct me when I need correcting, who chastens me when I need chastisement, who comforts me when I need comforting, who knows everything that I stand in need of, even when I don't know what it is. And tonight, as we mentioned, all of those things that we have on our minds that might concern us and trouble us and trouble our brethren. Any good tonight to know you got a Father? And my father knows, and not only does he know, but he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. He cares about us. The Apostle Paul felt to be a father to Timothy, but not in the sense God was his father. I want us to see and understand that. He felt it in this sense, and was in this sense his father, that is in a gospel sense, that the Apostle Paul had preached the gospel to the young preacher Timothy, and had preached to him and taught him, and had been one who was used as an instructive instrument and means to him. He didn't give him spiritual life, but he sure told him about the life that came from the Lord and what the Lord had done for him. He was, in a gospel sense, the gospel had told him about his Heavenly Father. And in that sense, he was a father, and I believe not only in the gospel, but in the ministry. The young Timothy was a minister, a young minister. And young ministers need the help and the encouragement and the instruction and the experience that comes from older ministers. And the Lord has so designed His church that He allows us to, though men can't make ministers, it's only God who calls them, and it's God who qualifies them, and it's God who burdens them. There's a great deal of learning that can happen from the younger ministers and younger members listening to the older ministers and the older members. And that is when the older ministers and the older members have lived their lives and learned from the teaching of God's Word. You see, age in and of itself doesn't give you anything. If your time has not been used in the wisdom of God's Word, you know very little more than what you first knew. And the Apostle Paul, in one place, when he talked to the Hebrew brethren, he said, "I have to speak to you as babes rather than those who had grown up. You have to be fed with milk when you ought to be being fed with meat. You have need that I give you milk." And he wasn't commending them in that. He was saying that it's important for us not only to grow old, but to grow old in the wisdom of the Lord. That's why it's important for us to use the days that our Lord gives us wisely. Now, for some of us, we go like, "Well, that's kind of late for me to start doing that, because I'm kind of at the point in my life, a whole lot of years have passed." Well, let me say this to you. You're as young today as you're ever going to be. And tomorrow, you're not going to be as young as you are today. And as you grow older, it happens very quickly in this world. And the point of that is, every day God gives us, we want to use it wisely to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. And that knowledge of the truth that the Apostle Paul had been blessed of God, not only blessed of God to be, it was revealed to him, but that he had labored in and grown in and studied. He who told us to study to show ourselves approved unto God was one who had studied to show himself approved unto God. And in that sense, he acted and was a great benefit and a great blessing to others of God's little children, no matter what their age is, that were first learning of these things. And wherever you are right now, I hope tonight you feel like you're the babe rather than the grown-up one. I hope tonight you feel like you're the one who needs instruction rather than the one who does the instructing. I hope tonight, not only you, but I hope I do that as well, that we never get to the point where we think, "Well, we've got it now." Because I'm telling you, as soon as we think we've got it, you got it all right, but what you got is not good. Because if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know it, and he needs to become a fool that he might become wise. And the minute we stop asking God for wisdom, we're in trouble, aren't we? Tonight, I recognize how much I don't know. Without the Lord, I can't help anyone. But I also understand the Lord has blessed us with a great deal of understanding along the way that is great and wonderful to be able, by the grace of God, to share with others of God's children. And tonight we want to share the truth, if the Lord would bless us. We want to share the wonderful good news of a Savior who was the Son of David, who came and lived a perfect life and died on the tree of the cross and paid a sin debt and rose again. He was delivered for our offenses, but He rose again for our justification. And if we can find that rest and that peace tonight, oh, what a deliverance that is in a world that is so empty without Him. What would life be without the Lord? What would our lives be without any knowledge of God? What would our lives be if all it was, we talked about this tonight, if it all it was is what scientists, if only scientists know, and there are some scientists that know the Lord. Matter of fact, those that the Lord knows, that know the Lord, they have some great wisdom in this world. Not all scientists don't know the Lord. There are some that know the Lord. Some of the greatest minds that we've ever had in the past were men who loved God and feared God and called upon God, and God gave them great understanding about things. Some of the great men of the past. Now, there are some others who are simply fools that say there is no God. And I didn't call them that. The Scripture calls them that. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And you and I can endorse that, because it's God's Word that says that. And oh, what a mess you and I would be in tonight if the Lord hadn't allowed us to know that He is God. If God hadn't awakened us to that. If God's grace had not appeared to us. If God had not come in the condition we were in, which was a condition that was completely bankrupt of any ability to come to Him, or any desire to come to Him, or any desire to know Him, or any understanding of Him. Nobody could have helped us. We, like a wild Gadarene, though they may have chained us, would never have been able to bind us or hold us. We would never come to know the Lord. It was only Jesus who could help that wild Gadarene. And when the Lord finished with him, he was clothed and in his right mind. And it's only the Lord who can awaken us to what young Timothy was awakened to. But once the Lord had allowed him and given him the faith, that the same faith that was in his mother Lois and in his grandmother Eunice, and Paul said, I recognize that same faith that was in your mother and in your grandmother, it's in you also. And therefore, Paul was able, by the grace of God, to preach and to teach young Timothy some wonderful things. Tonight, the preaching will fall on deaf ears unless God prepares the heart and the ground to receive the word. The seed is sown, but if the seed is sown and the Lord doesn't prepare the heart and prepare the mind and prepare the ground, hey, it won't bring forth any fruit. It takes God to add the blessing of the fruit. And yet you and I, tonight, we need to be going through our lives sowing the seed as the Lord gives us the ability and the strength to do it. He said, let's read the passage. He said, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. He calls young Timothy his son. And he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We were already thinking about this. It's certainly a wonderful thing that God's grace has been shown unto us. Aren't you thankful tonight that God saw fit to show His grace to you? Aren't you thankful that He saw fit to show His grace to those that are around you? You know, some of you I've just met, but I already feel and see the grace of God that has appeared to me by His grace, didn't earn it, didn't deserve it, has also appeared to you. That we have a kinship and a fellowship and a relationship in the Lord as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we're in this world, and if it was all just about what science would tell us, then all of us are just a bunch of chemicals that happen to be in the right place at the right time, and we happen to pop up in some mysterious thing called life. They really don't understand how we got it or even really what it is. They have a hard time laying their hands on what even identifies life as life. And that one day we'll all lose that life and all the chemicals will go back into the big cycle and the circle. The circle, they call it, the circle of life, which sounds a whole lot more like a circle of death than it does a circle of life. And we'll just live a few days because it's all it is and it'll be all over. How sad that would be tonight if that was the truth. How sad that would be tonight if that's what I had to declare to you. How sad that would be tonight if the Lord had not, by His grace, allowed us to see and know that that's not the truth, but rather in our hearts, by His grace, by His work, He has allowed us to know that He created the heavens and the earth, that He is, that God is. I believe God is tonight. Now, I don't believe God is because I got so smart about it. I don't believe God is because Mom and Daddy taught me about it. I don't believe God is because some preacher got to me or some church movement got to me. I believe, if it truly I believe from the heart that God is, I would be dead in trespasses and in sins were it not for the quickening power of Almighty God that allowed me to know that He is God. You see, tonight when I pray, I really believe there's a God in heaven who hears my prayer, don't you? I surely wouldn't waste my time praying about things if I thought there was nobody to listen to me. I'd be like talking to myself. And I found talking to yourself, there ain't a whole lot of profit in that. You don't get a whole lot accomplished. You don't get a whole lot of things solved. And if we were just talking to ourselves tonight, well, that would be sad if that would be the case. I'll tell you, I've seen the power of God move in prayer. I've seen the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous men avail much. I've read about it in God's Word, which has become very real to me in my life, that I believe that this is the Word of God. I believe by inspiration of God, He moved men to pin this down. I count on it so much that I try in my weakness, I want to do better, but I try the best I can to build my life upon the principles that are laid down in God's Word. I try to use God's Word to guide my politics. I try to use God's Word to guide my thinking about how it is I ought to act and behave. Now, do I do it all the time? No, I fall short many times, but I even try to use God's Word to correct me on that way so that I might walk a little better. And I believe you do too. I know we don't do it to the degree that we ought to, but I believe tonight if I ask you, you'd all answer, I want to live better. God's been so good to me, I want to talk better. God's been so good to me, I want to act better. I want to be a better daughter. I want to be a better son. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better grandparent. I want to be a better employee. Whatever you are, I want to live in a way to honor Almighty God. Now, if that's in your heart, in your mind, to the least degree, that shows me that you're not dead in sins, but that you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you're alive in Christ, God gave you that life. You didn't gain it on your own. You didn't earn it on your own. You may have felt like, well, I was brought to church and they taught me that. Let me say this to you. You would hate what's taught here unless God opened your eyes to it. You wouldn't want to hear it. You'd be offended by it. Man by his nature, woman by her nature, do not want to hear the things that are laid down in God's Word. If a man is going to be faithful to the Word of God, unless a man is quickened by the power of God and a woman quickened by the power of God, they will not have or hear the things that are coming from God's Word. This book is an offense to them, and it would be an offense to me and an offense to you unless God had awakened us to it. Do y'all see this is grace? This is not something you did. for your children. This is not something you did for yourself. This is not something we did for other men and other women. This is something God did for all of His children when He has awakened you to the reality that He is. When you look up at the sky in the night, if you just see God, and you look at the beauty of His handiwork, you see the power of an almighty God. It's like looking at a watch that some great man had made, and you go stand in awe at how intricate and detailed that watch is. I want you to know the little watches that men make hold nothing to the wondrous work of Almighty God in His creation. All men do is kind of copy what God does, and He does a poor job of that. Some men are more blessed than others, but even that ability, let me say this, even that ability, there has never been a man that used an eye that he made. God made the eye that he used. God made the skillful hands that he used. God made the mental aptitude that he has. God gave him every good thing that he ever had in his life. He is the one who is the author and the finisher of all good things. And it is to Him tonight that all the praise and the honor and the glory belongs. And we're not to be here to do anything tonight but praise His name and give Him the honor and the glory. And we want to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That means we're to be strong in it, and that we recognize His grace is what has given me everything. I hope you recognize that tonight. Hope you see it a little better than when you came in. I hope you feel it a little stronger than when you first, because we can forget it. We can take it for granted. We can start complaining about it. We can start looking at things like, things aren't going too good for me. Things aren't working out so well. I want you to know God's hand and His grace has been on you from the very beginnings of your life. And He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He is there because He loved you. He didn't love you because you deserved it. He loved you in spite of what you deserved. And there's absolutely nothing that can separate you as His child from His love. And you say, well, is that for me? Well, if you love the Lord tonight in any degree whatsoever, that's an evidence that He first loved you. And if He first loved you, He will never stop loving you. A doctrine that says He loves you and then is going to cast you away is a false doctrine. A doctrine says that He loves you and doesn't have the power to save those whom He loves. Talks about a God who does not have the power that the Bible says that He does. Listen, Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. And He was able to give eternal life to as many. How many? As many as the Father hath given me. And I'm telling you how many He's going to lose. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And He knows every single one of them. And I'm telling you tonight, brethren, if we have the grace of God, we need to be strong in His grace. I want to be strong in His grace. I don't want to be weak in Gary. I want to be strong in the Lord. And I'm telling you, if I'm trusting in Gary, I'm going to be weak in Gary. If I'm trusting in you, are you trusting in me? I'm going to be weak in you, and you're going to be weak in me. If we're trusting in the men of this world, even the princes of this world. Psalm 146 says, trust not in man, nor in the princes of men, in whom there is no help. The very hour, the very moment their breath goes from them, they're done. Some men think they've got all the power and all the ability and all the answers. And I'm telling you, there's only one who has all the power and all the ability and all the answers. And you and I will never go wrong trusting in Him. And we're to trust in Him and Him alone. And be thankful for all the many brothers and sisters He gives us to help along the way. I believe Timothy was thankful for the Apostle Paul, don't you? I'd have been a thankful. I've got some fathers in Israel, some fathers and brothers and sisters and mothers that have been such a help to me down through my life in good instruction that came from God's Word, from good help when I was going this way. They said, that's going to hurt you. Come back this way. Sometimes when they said it, I didn't like it. Sometimes when they told me things, I didn't want to hear it. Sometimes it was like, oh, that seems awful bold for somebody to say that. I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul said he did not neglect to give the whole counsel of God. He did not shun to declare the entire counsel. There were sometimes he reproved and he rebuked and he exhorted. And faithful ministers do that. And faithful brothers and sisters do that. Faithful mamas do that. Faithful daddies do that. Because they have a love for their children and a love for God's people. and a duty and a responsibility to God to share the truth. But I'm telling you, the only one that is due and worthy of the praise tonight, it's not our forefathers. It's the Lord of glory that has given us every good thing in our lives. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Now, unless you're in the grace, you won't be strong in it. You know, this isn't just to the world in general. Somebody said, well, that's a lesson to the world. Everybody ought to be strong in the grace. Listen, if you're not in the grace, you can't be strong in it. If you're dead in sins, you can't be strong in the life God gives you. Until He gives you life, you can't live that life. But once He's given you that life, I'm telling you, if you have a love for Him, if you have a desire to follow after Him, if you have a desire to learn more, if you even like hanging around old fogey Baptists that sing in a strange way in the eyes of this world and preach in some things they call foolishness and have fellowship, they hug one another. People don't even know each other. They hug one another and have love towards one another. And they respond in ways the world doesn't respond. If that hits your case and hits your feeling, that's an evidence that God has awakened you and He's given you life. And He didn't give you life just to live any old way. He gave you life to live it in a way to honor and glorify Him. Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus preached that on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, let. That means if we can let it, we can hinder it, can't we? Sometimes we can hide our light under a bushel. Sometimes we can not speak up. Be easy sometimes just to keep quiet. And sometimes it's hard to keep quiet. And then sometimes we're supposed to keep quiet. Sometimes we're supposed to talk. And if you're like me, a lot of times I'm talking when I'm supposed to be quiet. And I'm quiet when I'm supposed to be talking. And how do you know when to be quiet? Have you ever worried about that? How do I know when to be quiet and when to talk? One of the biggest troubles in my life is to know when to keep my mouth shut and other times when to speak up. And to have good judgment and discernment about when I should do it and when I shouldn't. You ever have that trouble? I'm telling you, if you trust in yourself for that answer, you'll be saying things you ought not say, and you'll be walking away when you should have spoken up and said something. And you'll do it with a heart that is hurting and broken because it's walking contrary to the way the Lord would lead you. Somebody said, well, then what do I do? Well, number one, we study God's Word. You know, God's Word will help us to know when it's time to speak up. And will help us to know when it's time to be silent. We study Jesus and His life, and we'll see there were times Jesus answered men that needed answering. And He did that as the Spirit of God, which He had the fullness of, because He was one with the Spirit of God, directed Him. And how should we live our life? Under the direction of the Spirit of Almighty God. And that means we need to be praying, Lord, help me. Help me keep my mouth shut. And Lord, help me talk. Help me say things in the love of God. Sometimes I say the things that I'm supposed to say, but I say them in such an ignorant way. Sometimes I say what I'm supposed to say, but it's not in the love of God. Remember, everything we're supposed to say, we're to say it in love and in compassion with all long suffering and doctrine, and yet we're supposed to be faithful. Tonight I need as a minister to be faithful, but I should not use this pulpit as a baseball bat to try to drive God's children anywhere. I am to lead them and to teach them in gentleness and humility and meekness, teaching those who oppose themselves at times. And I can only do that with the wisdom that comes from Almighty God. And I am to use His Scripture as our authority. Because without the Lord's Scripture and without His Word, if I don't preach the Word, I'm leaving my authority. Tonight we want to preach the truth. He says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." There's sometimes in the preaching of the gospel, people feel that if you preach so much grace, you'll put your congregation to sleep. And I said this today earlier when I was speaking over at Summer Duck. I've seen congregations go to sleep in about any kind of situation. And I think about God's little children in the Scripture. When do we find God's children in the Scripture going to sleep? Do you think anybody could have slept at the Mount of Transfiguration when the Lord appeared in His glory? I want you to know three great apostles did. James, Peter, and John. at the Mount of Transfiguration woke up. You know why they woke up? Because they was asleep. And they saw Jesus transfigured before them and glistering. And all what they did not see while they were asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus had bid them to come and pray with Him. Oh, what did they do? How were they? And they fell asleep. And He came and woke them up. And what did they do? They went back to sleep. And then He said, sleep on. Sleep on. Then you have the Apostle Paul. I think, boy, you know, what preacher would you go to sleep under? The Apostle Paul, if you thought we were having Paul here tonight, I think all of us are going to be the best we can to be attentive, won't we? Sit on the edge of the seat and listen as the Apostle Paul preached. But I'm telling you, Paul preached a long time, and he preached all night long, and one in the third loft fell asleep. And fell out. It's dangerous to fall asleep. He fell out dead. Listen, there's no apostles here tonight, so don't fall out and die, because you'll be in trouble here tonight. Paul, as an apostle, was blessed with a gift and the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and the signs of the Holy Ghost as an apostle to verify that which he was preaching. He had the ability to restore that one by the grace of God and through the ability God gave him to life. But that was in the gifts of the apostles. What I'm saying to you tonight is grace will never put us to sleep. I'll tell you what the church needs to hear more of. We need to hear more about the grace of Almighty God. If I ever get to heaven, it'll be by His grace that I'm there, and I have a sweet hope in my breast that when I leave this old world, I'll be able to enter into heaven's world, not based in what Gary did or has done, but based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what was done for me at Calvary. It's grace that gives me that trust and that hope, and it's if I'm saved and saved at all, it'll be by His grace. And I'll tell you, if I know how to act as a preacher, it'll be by His grace that I do that. If I know how to love you as my brother, it'll be by His grace that I know how to do that. If I'm a good husband to my wife, it'll be by His grace that I'm able to do that. If I am able to live my life in a way to honor and glorify the Lord, it'll be by His grace that I do that. If I know how to die, it'll be by His grace that I die. It is His grace that I need for preaching. It's His grace that I need for everything that I do. And what I'm saying about me applies to you as well. And I'm telling you, by and through His grace, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And without Him and His grace, we can do absolutely nothing. So what does grace do? It ought to stir you up. Ought not put you to sleep. Ought to wake you up. It ought to cause you to have peace and rest, even in a troubled world. Listen, we're living in 2015 where the trouble seems to be on every hand. I've never seen our nation in more trouble than it is even at this time. I'm sure others have felt that same thing in the past, but I know I feel it in my own life right now. Sometimes when I look at the condition of our nation, I go, oh, what could save a nation in such a mess? I'm telling you, it's the same thing that we need today is the same thing we've always needed, and that's the grace of Almighty God. And may we be on our knees praying for our land and for our nation and for our young people. And you know, we don't want to scare them to death. Listen, the same God that was with an Elijah as he was there in the Old Testament is with us today. And the effectual fervent prayer of Elijah availed much. And brethren, as you and I look to the Lord and pray and trust and lean upon Him, it will also avail much. It's not because I said it. It's because the Word of God says it. So let us be faithful. Let us trust and lean upon the Lord. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, because He's worked in you, you have a power to walk in this world. A power that's in you that is not of you. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I ask you, how powerful is our Lord? One of the brethren preached last week, is there anything too hard for God? And there is not. Well, is there anything with God that's in? With God, all things are possible. With man, it's impossible, and not so with God. What a great God we have to trust and depend tonight. And He says, "Be strong." In Ephesians 6, it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." It says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." It says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." In other words, the doctrine that the Apostle Paul preached. Is doctrine important? Is it important that our ministers come to the stand and preach the truth? Is it important that we stand faithful in the Bible and teach what the Bible says? Does it matter if a little bit of error enters in or creeps in? And I'm not saying that any of us are completely error-free. I'm saying our desire ought to be error-free. And you as God's little children ought to be absolutely demanding in the sense of God's little children, that you're fed the truth, that you are searching the Scripture, that you're studying God's Word, that you're faithful in your study of the Scripture, that when you hear error, you'll be able to discern it as error. And what that demands on our part is not that just the preacher studies and gives it out, but that each one of us also studies and shows ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not be ashamed. Otherwise, it might sound like the truth and not be the truth. Brethren, we need to search the Scriptures daily, as the good Berean brethren did, to see whether these things be so. And that's not so we can catch one of the brethren in an error and cause some problem or bring it to their knowledge. But I'm saying what we can do easily if we're not careful is we can become nonchalant with the truth. We can start just saying, well, it must be the truth. Brother so-and-so said it. And whoever brother so-and-so is, whether it's me, Paul said, whether it be me or an angel from heaven, that puts a whole lot of people in there. He says, if they preach any other doctrine other than that which I preach, let him be accursed. That means we need to be listening. And when we hear uncertain sounds, we need to lovingly and faithfully address them. And that means if it's coming from me, and you brethren are pretty good about it. I'm thankful for that. There have been many of you who said, brother, I heard you say this, and y'all are real nice about it. You usually bring it around sometimes it's where I've just plain misspoken and said something that wasn't the way it ought to be said. And you bring it around in such a way that you show a love for me. But I'm thankful that I want this church to be mindful of the truth to the point that if you hear error, you'll be able to see it and understand it and discern it and say, no, that's not grace. That's not the truth. That's not what we believe. That's not what the Bible teaches. And we want to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And be willing to stand up boldly and humbly and boldly. Can you do that both humbly and boldly? Absolutely. And contend for that faith once delivered to the saints. I'll tell you what brought me to the old church. I found a whole lot of things I loved about the old church. I loved the way the brethren loved one another. That was a great blessing. But that's not really what brought... that was an evidence that behold how they love one another. You found the brethren. They are the brethren because you see a great love. And that was a great evidence. But I'll tell you, it was the doctrine of grace that really allowed me to see and love and understand that I had found this place that's been my home now for a number of years. And I'll tell you, it's a peace that I've had and a rest that I've had. And when I face the troubles of life, it's a doctrine that has stood. When I've been concerned about others, it's been a joy and it's been a blessing. It's a doctrine that I've tried my very best to preach and to teach. And it's what I want us to continue to be faithful in. It wasn't something I brought in. It was what I heard when I came. And if I hadn't heard that doctrine, I could have had the same people. Listen, there was good people where I left from. There were loving people. I believe even God's people where I left from. But they didn't understand some of the beauties of the doctrine that's laid down in God's Word that teaches salvation by grace and grace alone. I don't want to add anything to it, do you? I don't want you trusting in anything you might do or anything I might do. I don't want you even depending upon yourself for the daily salvation and deliverance that you have. Listen, we have duty and responsibility that God has given us in this world. But I'll tell you, if we do our duty, we still are operating in the grace of God. Because when I've done everything He had me to do, what am I? I'm still just an unprofitable servant. I've simply done that which is my duty. And every day His grace sustains you. Every day His grace feeds you. Every day His grace keeps you. And I want us to stand faithful for that truth once delivered to the saints. The Apostle Paul said that too. He said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, the preachers I love to hear are the preachers who are strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. The ones I desire to have visit with us and teach and preach are those who are strong. And somebody said, well, you mean they're just talking about the eternal phase of his salvation? No, listen, every phase of his salvation, both timely and eternal, is based in the grace of Almighty God. If we are able to live one day to his honor and to his glory, none of us can pat ourselves on the back and say we got that done. It is only by his grace that it's in him that we live and move and have our being. And oh, may we say that every single day. I'll tell you what that'll do. It'll make you happy. It'll give you peace. It'll give you rest. It'll give you joy. And when you feel like there's no hope, you'll see there is hope in the Lord. Listen, the Lord has kept us this far, safe this far. I believe it's the Lord who's going to lead us on. And one day he's going to come again and take us out of this old troubled world, and forever we'll be with him in glory. One day he'll come again in the clouds, or he'll come and take us in death. Either way, for me to live is Christ, the Apostle Paul said. That's grace, isn't it? And to die is gain. That's grace. And I want to be strong in the grace that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, not something different. We want to preach the same. My goodness, time's gone. Preach the same. You commit that to who? Faithful men. You know who makes faithful men? Men can't make faithful men. There's only one who can make faithful men, and that's the Lord. He is the one who quickens them. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. He's the one. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. It's the result of the work of Almighty God. And brethren, when we preach, what we are doing is teaching others that, and we're committing these things to faithful men that they may be able to do what? To teach others also. We sang that wonderful hymn like tonight. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me that story, most precious, sweetest that was ever heard, to tell it over and over again. We can't hear it enough, can we? I want to hear it tonight. I want to hear it again and again. I want to, you know, I'm looking forward to next weekend so I can hear it some more. And that same message, that same wonderful truth, we sing it, we preach it, we talk about it. And listen, one of the activities, or the activity of heaven, will be to declare that same truth and to hear it in the purity and the clarity that we'll then know as we stop seeing through a glass darkly and see him face to face. What a day that will be. I appreciate your kind attention. I'm going to stop, though I'm not done. Give the Lord any good thing. Give the Lord the praise and the honor and the glory. And dear ones, if the Lord has touched you by his grace, you live for him. You live your life for him. You commit it all and trust in him. Don't lean upon your own understanding. You lean and trust in him. He will, as the hymn writer said, he will take care of you. And I've seen many witnesses. Got witnesses here tonight. He's taking care of me. Has he taken care of you? Times I wasn't even thinking about him. Times I didn't even care about him. Times I thought I was making it on my own. Such a fool. Running my own course. Talked to a man just the other night. He said, for 40 years I lived my life and wasn't even living. He said, until the Lord, and he'll tell you, it wasn't me who got so wise. The Lord awoke me and allowed me to see and know that he was. He said, most of my life, I didn't know him at all. And just putting in time, thought I was living and didn't. And his life was a mess. But I'm telling you, when the Lord worked on him, he was a different man, a new creature. Only one person can make a new creature, or any creature. That's a creator, right? And there's not many creators. There's only one. Let us give him the glory and the honor and praise and be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love you, my brother. Thank God for you.